Some people say, I know I'm not good enough, and if I could only get Christ into me, I'd be good enough. But how do I do that? Oh, listen, there is so much good news waiting for you. This is Colin Cook, and How It Happens, we're going to explore this question, I believe, but I'm not good enough. I don't feel good enough, and you're not good enough, but there is an answer, and it comes out of the good news. Yes, but I hear you say, but Colin, how do we get into Christ? You say that Christ has become my wisdom and has become my righteousness and sanctification, but how? I mean, how has he become my righteousness? If I'm not feeling good enough and I just feel that things are just chaotic in my life, how is he my righteousness? Do I need to read my Bible more? Should I pray more? Should I go to more church meetings? Maybe I should fast more. How do I get more righteous? Now, I'll tell you, I used to struggle with that question for years. Believe me, I did. From the time I became a Christian, well, not quite from the time I became a Christian, but after a year or two, when I began to realize that my life was very poor and very broken and very disobedient and very sinful, I thought, well, how do I get more righteous? How do I become righteous? And I did try all your suggesting. I tried to pray more, to read my Bible 2 or 3 hours a day. I'm serious about that. And to spend time meditating and also memorizing scripture and reading holy books and all kinds of things and fasting. Yes, I fasted quite a bit, but it didn't seem to make me any more righteous. And I got very, very anxious, very, very condemned, a sense all the more deeply of the fact that I wasn't good enough. Now, you may suspect that I'm going to say, don't worry, you're basically good at heart, and God didn't make junk, and God loves you just as you are. You think maybe I'm going to say that this is all an issue of low self-esteem, you need to raise your esteem. You know, I'm not going to say any of that, because the fact is, neither you nor I are good enough. And even though God didn't make junk at the beginning, I will be quite frank with you, we are junk now because we've gone through the fall and the whole of our natural humanity is seeded with corruption and death. I'm not going to give you just a happy tale that is not in harmony with Scripture just to make you feel good. There is a better way to help you to feel good. Believe me. Remember what the text said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. By God's act, you are in Christ Jesus. If it were up to you, yes, you would have to read more Bible. You would have to pray longer hours. You would have to fast more fully or at greater length. You would have to do many, many things to be in Christ Jesus, if you could at all. But the text says, by his act, you are in Christ Jesus. So let's explore how that works. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, well, the whole book of Romans, Paul was talking to the Jews who had a great deal of confidence in the law. They felt, well, if God had given them the law, as he did, then they must be very special people. The Jewish people had come to have confidence in their flesh or their natural humanity. But Paul had to make it clear to them in Romans chapter 3, verse 9, what then? Are we Jewish people, are we better than they, better than anyone else in the world? Not at all, he says, for we have previously charged that both Jews and Greeks, that they are all under sin. Now that's a pretty stunning statement. Every human being in the world, he includes all the world when he says Jews and Greeks or Jews and Gentiles, every human being is under the power of sin. And he quotes a verse just to demonstrate the point. The next verse, as it is written, 3 verse 10 in Romans, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. This is a pretty sour view of the human race, but it's a very accurate view of the human race. And so he concludes in verse 19, chapter 3, verse 19 of Romans, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." What does that mean, really? It means that the purpose of the law was to reveal how broken humanity really is, so that everybody's mouth may be stopped. In other words, like you get a shock and you take your inner breath and you put your hand over your mouth. Every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may become, or rather become aware of the fact of their guilt before God. Therefore, verse 20 says, Romans chapter 3, verse 20, "By the deeds of the law, no flesh, that is, no human being, will be declared innocent or justified in his sight." Let me read it again. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." By the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, you know what the law is all about, don't you? At least, if you haven't read it lately, go to Exodus chapter 20, but you remember a lot of it. "Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy." All of these things remind us of what our moral condition is like. The trouble is, you see, so many people look at the law as a checklist, and they say, "Thou shalt not kill. Okay, haven't done that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, almost anyway, haven't done that. Thou shalt not steal. Haven't done that. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, I've always been a churchgoer and a Christian." And they use it as a checklist to demonstrate that they're okay. But when it comes to the law as revealed in its true spiritual intention, then that's another story. And Jesus said, "You've heard it said that you shall not kill, but whosoever hates his brother is a murderer already. You've heard it said you shall not commit adultery, but whosoever lusteth after another woman has already committed adultery in his heart. You've heard it said, you shall not steal, but whosoever covets has already stolen." And this is a real shock, because it reveals, Jesus, that is, reveals the true spirituality of the law, that it is going to the very core of things, not to the external issues, but to the very core of the heart. And clearly, our hearts are not pure. But you say, "Colin, I know that. That's the whole point. That's why I say I'm not good enough. So what do I do? Do I try more Bible study? Do I try more prayer meetings? Do I try more fasting? Do I go to church more often? What will make me good enough?" Remember the point that I was making. I'm not going to try to tell you you are good enough. I'm not going to say you're basically good at heart. I'm not going to say God didn't make junk, so take heart. I am going to say that all the law can do is remind us of our sin. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight." And not simply law on two tables of stone, but the law even in our hearts. Certain people do have a very conscious awareness of the law within their hearts, and Paul speaks about that in Romans chapter 2, verse 14. "For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, These, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. So this statement here in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, clearly shows that we have hearts that are written on, or minds if you like, by the law. We have an awareness of good and evil, and right and wrong. We have a conscience. The trouble is our conscience does not affirm that we're righteous and good, but rather that we have done wrong. And that is why Paul says in 3 verse 20, "Therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight. For the law, by the law, is a consciousness of sin." Okay, Colin, you say, well, what are you telling me that for? I asked you the question, how does Jesus become my righteousness? Well, I'm making the point about the law so that you see that he certainly doesn't become your righteousness by your longer prayers, more Bible study, more fasting, more church going. No, it has to come in another way. And this is where Paul shocks the whole nation and wipes the floor of every religion in the world, including Christianity. And it isn't Paul simply. It is Jesus. And Paul is simply reiterating what Jesus said. Paul says in chapter 4 of Romans, verse 3, "What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." And then he says in verse 5, "To him who does not work," that is, doesn't have any good works to his name, "but believes on him who justifies," that means declares innocent, "the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Let's say that again. To the man who does not have any works to his name, any quality of life, but believes on him who declares innocent the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. So, here you have it. You want to know how Christ has become your righteousness? The answer is, God has counted Christ to your account so that you are treated as if you were righteous like him as you trust in him. Now, if you'd like to get more details on this with a personal conversation with me in a seminar setting where you can ask questions and get answers, then join me at the seminar on the 25th of October. I believe, but it's all the other stuff. How many people have shipwrecked their faith lives on the rocks of all the difficulties they go through? They can't bring the faith life and the difficulties together. We're going to learn how to do that. We're going to explore the various ways our faith in Christ can know grace in chaos. I believe, but where is God? Or I'm mad at God, or my life's making no sense, or I worry all the time, or I can't stop doubting, or why all this suffering? Join me at this seminar, Saturday the 25th of October, 9:30 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. There'll be a break for lunch. I really look forward to seeing you, regular dear people, and also newcomers. Do come along. 9:30 to 3 at where? La Quinta Inn. La Quinta Inn is at 7190 West Hamden Avenue in Lakewood, Colorado. That's the south frontage road of West Hamden Avenue between Wadsworth and Sheridan. If you can bring a donation, please do. It helps the ministry. Recommended $60 to $100 if you could afford it. But if you can't, don't worry, even to the point of not bringing anything, just bring yourself. I look forward to meeting you. And I'll see you there. And I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.